37. He is our all. Think of the closer than breathing bone of his bones, Ephesians 5:30. The closer than breathing bone of his bones relationship of life that we have with the very creator, the sustainer of the universe. Although he is seated in glory at the Father's right hand, he isn't far off. His life is in us where we are, and our life is in him where he is. Absolute oneness. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with him. We read in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Now in Christ Jesus ye who were once far off are made nigh. Ephesians 2 verses 10 and 13. So Jesus is our head. He is our intercessor. He is our life. First, he is our head. When we see Jesus Christ as the sovereign Lord of the universe, we acknowledge him to be ruler of our personal lives and our circumstances. He is our head. We are his body on earth. Our Father hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 1 verses 22 and 23. And in Colossians 1 verses 18 and 19 we read this. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, in that in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. He is also our intercessor. The better we know the Lord Jesus in his glory, the more fully we depend upon him as our personal intercessor. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7 verse 25. And in Romans 8 verses 33 and 34 we read the following. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yes, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. When the believer sins, his relationship to the Father isn't affected, but his fellowship with him is impaired. It is for this self-induced exigency that we need the Lord Jesus at the Father's right hand as our advocate and as our intercessor. He is Jesus Christ the righteous. He is our defender in heaven against the accusations of the adversary. Since we have been made the righteousness of God in him, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he justly and continually clears us from all charges. And because, as we read in 1 Corinthians 1:30, and because he of God is made unto us righteousness, he is never our prosecutor. When we fail to confess our sins or to judge ourselves in the matter of sin, we must be chastened. When our Father's child training is applied, it is always well deserved and for our good. Our Lord Jesus bore all the wrath against sin on the cross. Therefore we grow by means of the chastening. In Hebrews 2:11 we read the following. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. There are many Christians who feel that confession of sin is unnecessary. They reason that if their sins are already fully forgiven, why bother to confess them? It is true that we need not ask for forgiveness when we sin. Rather, we are free to thank him for that forgiveness provided at Calvary and received in Christ. But it is necessary to honestly confess our sins, thus siding with him against ourselves. Else, how can we enjoy true fellowship with the one who is holy and hates sin perfectly? The primary ministry of the Holy Spirit is to reveal to us the Lord Jesus as our new life, and to occupy our minds and hearts with him. When we step down into the old life, and consequently to sin, the Spirit is grieved and must occupy us with ourselves until our honest confession of sin to the Father brings restoration of fellowship. Yes, frank and intimate confession of sin is vital. Think for a moment of someone who observes a loved one sinning against him. Wounded but ever loving, he forgives and says nothing. Meanwhile, the loved one, although knowing there is forgiveness, does not confess his sins. Forgiveness is there. Love is waiting. But now, where is the fellowship and integrity in this relationship? But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, not him, and the truth isn't in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, verses 7 to 9. And finally, he is our life. By now we should be seeing more clearly the wonderful truths concerning the fact that the Lord of glory is our life, and that we are, as individuals, new creations in him. There is but one place, one position where we are to abide, and that is in him where he is. The resources and motivations of our daily lives are in the Son, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. The expression of our new lives here is the indwelling life of Jesus manifested in our mortal flesh. Our position and our resources as new creations are certainly not in the old man. Our death on the cross now and forever separates us from that reign of sin, and we are free to reckon on that fact. Our mind does not have to dwell on and become involved with the indwelling sinful nature. Death is there, but life is in the Lord Jesus. We are looking in the wrong direction when we dwell on the old man and are pulled down in depression and defeat by its sinfulness. Or conversely, consider that nature to be quite harmless and good. We have to slip past the cross and violate our identification with him in his death to sin in order to traffic in that realm. Paul asks in Romans 6 verse 2, how shall we who died to sin still live in it? Our position as new creations is not in this sin-cursed world. We are travelling through it, but not abiding in it. How is it that the growing believer can rest and be at peace in the midst of this world of death, free to hold forth and share the word of life? It is simply because his anchorage and source of life is in another person, in another world. Keep looking down from above. The death of the cross stands not only between us and the old nature, but also between us and this world system. In Galatians 6, verse 14, we read this: "But may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." There is nothing here for us to rely on, but there is everything there for us to depend on. On earth, death. In glory, life. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, it is much more certain now that we are reconciled that we shall be saved, daily delivered from sin's dominion through him and his resurrection life. Romans 5 verse 10. If today the roots of your life are in the old nature and therefore in the world, absorbing the poison and death of those cross-condemned sources, it's time to move. There is a quiet and a restful abiding place just where our Father has positioned us. Our communion is with the Father and the Son where they are. Is it not time to hide from the old by hiding in the new? In that attitude of faith and walk of fellowship, our Lord Jesus will have another life through which to reach and replenish others. Therefore, as we read in 1 Peter 4 verse 11, "Therefore, if anyone preaches, let it be as uttering God's truth. If anyone renders a service to others, let it be in the strength which God supplies, so that in everything glory may be given to God in the name of Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the might to the ages of the ages. Amen." Fellowship with the old life results in nothing but sin and chastening. Fellowship with the Lord Jesus results in love and life for others.